Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Video News InScreen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon is with me back in the office. Right, Colin?
I am back in the office. It's a gorgeous day here in California. Not quite as warm and windy as it was last week in Las Vegas, but certainly very pleasant indeed.
All right. Well, good to hear. Well, we are going to first talk about Netflix and then sort of the broader dynamics that we see unfolding in the SVOD world this year as Disney Plus comes to market and Apple TV Plus comes to market and the new Warner Media SVOD service. So Netflix reported its results, or its quarterly results earlier this week. You're going to get us started by walking us through those.
I will. Yes, they did indeed. And it was a very good Q1 for Netflix. I think we probably thought it would be based on what we saw in Q4. And in fact, they beat their own estimates. What they did was they gained 1.74 million subscribers, paid subscribers in the US, to reach 60.2 million paid subscribers. And so that's just a tad less than 50% of homes now in the US. I think there's something like 122 million occupied homes in the US these days. So that's just a tad lower than 50%. Internationally, even better, they gained 7.9 million paid subscribers and now have 88.7 million paid, which brings a grand total of about 149 million paid subscribers, or 161 if you throw in the free trialers. So it was a pretty good quarter for them. As I say, they beat their estimates by about 10%, actually. They estimated 8.9 million gained, and they actually achieved 9.6 million gained. So I think you could say it was a pretty good quarter, Will. Revenue also was up 22% over Q1 18 at $4.5 billion. So really a company, a service that seems to be resonating and firing on all cylinders, wouldn't you say?
Sure does seem like they're firing on all cylinders. And have to go back, I think, many years to recall that Reed Hastings at one point said they thought they could get to 60 to 90 million subscribers in the U.S. at some point. And my guess that he first started talking about that probably back when they had maybe 10 million subscribers. And here they are, as you point out, 60.2 million in the U.S. That's pretty big accomplishment for them.
I think you're absolutely right. I remember distinctly him saying between 60 and 90 million. And I remember that there was a lot of skepticism at the time. But hats off to him and the management team for getting there. But I have to say, after listening in to the quarterly call, Will, that I got a little bit concerned that I think the Netflix team, certainly if I believe what I heard them say in that call, I think it was on Wednesday or Tuesday, I'm certainly a little bit concerned that they are underestimating the impact of Disney Plus later this year. Now, we know that Disney Plus is going to launch in I think November 12th was the date that they said it was going to launch at a very, very low price of $7. And they really didn't seem to think that this was, quote, material. In fact, when Reed Hastings, the CEO of Netflix, was asked directly about this, he said, there's a ton of competition out there and Disney and Apple add a little bit more. But frankly, I doubt it will be material. And I'm sorry, but I think it is material. I think it's going to have a pretty big impact. Netflix, frankly, hasn't faced a company like Disney in the market with such great brand recognition, not just in the company name, but in the titles it brings. Frankly, there's virtually nothing in the Netflix library with the same pull as something like a Marvel franchise or a Pixel, you know, the Pixel movies.
You've got Google Pixel on your mind. You meant Pixar.
I meant Pixar, yes. That's right. They just don't have anything in their library like this. And bearing in mind that it's launching November 12th, Will, if you think about this, there are two big holidays to go, right? There's Thanksgiving and then there's the holiday season. And that we know that these are big periods for people to sign up for new subscribers. Goodness, the Q1 and Q4 numbers from Netflix are evidence enough of that. And it's seasonally, it's been great for pay TV as well. So you've got to believe that a bunch of people will sit down and decide that they're going to sign up for a new service. And Disney is going to make sure that everybody in the United States is aware that Disney Plus is launching. And you got to believe they'll give that a try. They'll find a whole bunch of familiar brands, a whole bunch of great movies and content, and a good proportion of them are probably going to sign up. That has got to affect a decision to sign up for Netflix as well, right? So that I think they're underestimating the impact of Disney Plus on their numbers in Q4 and Q1 of this year. I think they will see a pretty dramatic slowdown. What do you think?
Yeah, I think everything you said makes a ton of sense. It's a very cloudy future. The whole SVOD market dynamics, I think, are going to be very cloudy. And I think your point certainly is when you hone in on the people with families, with young kids, the Disney value proposition is off the charts. For $7 a month for all the incredible Disney kids content, before you even get to the content that's appealing for adults, is an incredible value prop. So you have to believe that people with kids are going to be drawn very heavily to Disney. The murkier part to me is how much of the interest in Disney Plus is going to crowd out Netflix. Because I think that's kind of ultimately what you're saying, is that there's some crowding out effect that is going to occur as people consider their decisions and decide only to go with Disney Plus rather than also with Netflix during the holiday season. And that one, I definitely see it. It's so hard to quantify or to have strong conviction about to what degree that's going to be, because Netflix itself now, as we both know, has some very strong content that people are avid fans of and hear a lot about at work or with their friends or at the gym or wherever. And Netflix has its own pull in the market. Certainly, you look at the Q1 results, it's yet another testament to that. So I agree there's some crowding that's going to occur. It's just not clear to me to what extent. And maybe we're saying the same thing, and you're just a little further out on the spectrum than I am.
Yeah, I think we are basically saying the same thing. I think the idea that there will be no material impact is wrong. There will be. I think Netflix will feel the impact of Disney Plus being in the market. And there's no question in my mind that once somebody has made the decision to subscribe to Disney Plus at $7, to put their hand in their pocket if they want to get Netflix as well, will be a harder bar now for Netflix to cross. So I think that there has to be a material. That's why I really think there's a material impact. I do agree strongly with you, though. The impact is much, much stronger with families. So with people with children, that's going to be, I think, a really, really big impact. And as you say, a little murkier with those that don't.
Yeah, the ones with kids, you think about the touch points that Disney has. Just the idea that every family that walks into a Disney theme park is going to potentially get, we don't know this for sure, but is potentially going to get some type of a free trial code that they can literally activate right there at the park. They're going to pull out all stops, as they said, and they are going to get a lot of families subscribing right away. How that impacts Netflix, we'll wait and see. But the other element of this also, I think, is that the $7 a month price point is going to inevitably cause some people to consider what they're paying for other services, Netflix included. And that could also have some crowding effect on Netflix because people could be like, hey, I get all this Disney stuff and this is what my kids really want to watch. And there's plenty of stuff there for me, or I still take cable or whatever. And it's going to be, they may look at it as being half the price of the $14, for instance, that they pay for Netflix. And that could bring its own set of pressures.
It could, and actually, you touch on a very interesting point now, Will. For somebody that subscribes to both Netflix and to Disney Plus, I mean, how much time are they going to spend with their pay TV service? I got a feeling a heck of a lot less than they did before they got both of those services, right? So that's a big impact. There's not a lot of overlap between the library types. There is, of course, Netflix does have quite a strong children's offering, but Netflix has a lot of really quality adult content. I was thinking back of the four or five favorite shows that I've seen in the last 18 months, and they're all on Netflix, all of them. So very, very strong content, which I think will continue to draw adults. I just the idea that Disney Plus won't have a material impact, I think that's the thing I'm quibbling with. I got a feeling that they will feel the impact.
Yeah, and I guess, ultimately the question is, what does material mean? Does it mean that their Q4 domestic subscriber additions are going to go down by 20%, 30%, 50%, stay flat, go down just a little bit? Unclear. I mean, material is a substantial percentage. It's not like a 5 or 10% decline. So you've got to be thinking when you say material that they're going to be looking at like a 20% or more decline in Q4 US sub additions. And I don't know. I mean, it's certainly possible. The thing that feels the biggest to me is that Disney, with this ultra low price point of $7 a month, is sort of scrambling the entire picture for SVOD services. And they were saying before the reveal last week that they were going to be aggressive on price, but in my own mind, I thought aggressive maybe means $10 a month, but $7 a month is a whole different level, and no doubt that's going to ripple through the market. I mean, it ripples also just in terms of other SVOD providers' ability to raise prices. So if Netflix is thinking about a price increase, it's going to be tough to put that through without some impact now.
Yes, you're right. And when Bob Iger initially said that the price point would be aggressive, it would be below Netflix. When he said that, Netflix was actually $8. They hadn't increased to $10. So I suppose it was fairly logical that they would end up at $7 based on his initial statements. But notwithstanding that, what does that do to everybody else in the market now? I mean, think there's rumors now that Netflix is going to increase the price again. Can they really do that when they've got a major competitor like Disney already $3 cheaper than they are a month? I just don't know that they can do that. And what does that do for Apple TV Plus? Now, you wrote about this. Come on, Will, what does it do? It's got to be disaster, right?
Well, right. I mean, that's potentially the biggest implication here is that Disney coming in with all of its gold-plated content, its well-loved brands, the franchises, as you said before, Marvel, Pixar, Disney, Nat Geo, etc., everything in the kitchen sink basically that they're throwing into this thing for $7 a month. And then you look at Apple basically starting from scratch without any shows that have any awareness. I mean, they certainly have the A-list talent, but no momentum behind the shows, no library. It makes you wonder, like, how much are they going to be able to charge for their service? $1, $2, $3? It's just the Disney Plus is just such a it has such a huge implication for Apple.
It does, and I'm thinking as well about things like WarnerMedia, the NBCU service that will come out at the beginning of 2020, in the first quarter of 2020. WarnerMedia does not have the brands that Disney has. It already has a product in market that has done modestly well. That's, of course, HBO Now. And they are planning on expanding that and shaping another service around HBO. But really, do they have room to increase the price now? Even if they do add in a whole bunch of new content. And now NBCU, it's widely rumored or hinted that this is going to have ads. Will they be able to charge anything at all? I have a feeling that it's going to be difficult to even charge anything for a product when Disney's out there, no ads at $7. It really makes pricing now really difficult for everybody, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Now, I think we need to keep in mind that the $7 a month price point for Disney Plus, I'm sure, has a very short shelf life. I would think that it could be 6 months maybe max before that $7 turns into whatever, you know, $9 or $10, or there's some features added that are really kind of must-have features that drive people up in terms of price, whether that's for multiple concurrent users or who knows what. So I think that $7 has to be looked at as a little bit temporary, don't you think?
I think you're probably right. I don't know what they may, rather than putting a time frame on it, Will, I suspect that they've put a number of subscribers goal, perhaps 10 million when they hit 10 million or 20 million or something, that they will boost the price. But I think the rate at which they will acquire subscribers will be much, much faster than we've ever seen before. Firstly, you know, there's so many people now who are online watching. I think there's well over half. I think I estimated that it was like 63% now of homes, something like that, that have at least one SVOD service in the US today. And that means that there's lots of people already out there watching and using. So I just think the barriers are so much lower to adoption because there are so many people out there already viewing. The price is extremely attractive. The content is extremely attractive. So I think they could rapidly gain, you know, tens of millions of subscribers. And I think that's probably the gate. I think that's probably, you know, that they'll say 10 or 20 million and then they'll bump the price to $9 or $10, depending on what everybody else is doing in the market. So I think you're right. I think that price is temporary. I don't think there'll be any grandfathering in, as we've seen with other services, and as we've both just lost our grandfathered in price for YouTube TV. I don't think any of that will go on with Disney, but you're right. I think it won't last for very long.
Yeah, that, I mean, I think the YouTube TV example, which we just talked about last week, is really applicable. They were very aggressive on price, $35 a month. They did grandfather for a period of time, and then they basically just said, that's enough, and you and I went up by $15 a month from 35 to 50, and I don't think it would be outlandish to think that Disney could bump their price by some very significant amount also percentage-wise and maybe include a couple of features that are new and different to ease the pain a little bit. But boy, once they have a family connected, it's going to be virtually impossible for that family to churn out once those kids are watching unlimited Disney shows.
Yeah, I wonder what happens with this service as those kids age and leave home. I know I've looked at the content that's going to be there, and I'll be honest with you, Will, I will get the service. There's no question about that. I'm not sure there's going to be a lot in there for me. I'm not a big Marvel fan. I'm not a big Star Wars fan. And, you know, I will probably continue to spend a lot of time with Netflix as I am today and with some of the other services that I'm using. I'm spending a lot of time with CuriosityStream these days and BritBox as well. And I don't really think that the Disney Plus service is going to do a lot for me. What do you think for you?
Well, I agree. I'm in the same camp. But I don't think you or I are really in the sweet spot of their target market. Their target market certainly is families with kids, yep, young kids at home. And then the sort of outer ring of their target market are probably the big fans of the franchises, and even maybe families with teenagers or young millennials, those kinds of folks. But I think, sadly, you and I are over the hump for being in the target market for Disney Plus service.
Right. And interestingly, now we should say that Disney Plus is, they are planning to launch internationally with this service. And looking at the goals for the subscribers, I actually think there's a substantial chance that it will be a struggle for Disney Plus to get to 60 million in the US market alone. I'm not quite sure how many households there are with children, but I would hesitate to say that it is probably considerably less than half in the US today. I would need to check that up. But bearing in mind that it is going to launch internationally, I do think that 60 to 90 million by 2024, which is what they said in their big rollout a couple of weeks ago, is achievable by 2024 timeframe for sure, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's hard. I'm not going to say that I've looked at the numbers that carefully. I guess as I said before, my main takeaway is that they're really $7 a month price point with everything that's included is really going to scramble the dynamics in SVOD, and exactly how quickly it's going to be a big, it's no question going to be the fastest growing SVOD service we've ever seen, fastest to a million, 5 million, 10 million, 20 million. How quickly it ultimately grows and how big, I think, is a total question mark at this point. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, though, don't you think?
I do agree. Yeah, it's going to be tremendous. We haven't seen the shape of Warner Media. We don't know what they're going to launch exactly. And we know it's going to be based around HBO, but we haven't seen that. We don't know what its price is going to be. And we certainly don't know what's going to happen with NBCU in the first quarter of next year. So, boy, it really is streaming wars full on now, isn't it?
Yes, streaming wars full on. All right, well, we'll leave it at that for today, Colin. No doubt we'll have lots more to comment on as this year unfolds and we see more of these services start to roll out.
I'm sure we will.
All right, Colin, good chatting, and thanks everyone for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast, and we'll see you all again next week.